This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Any bathroom you choose. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Bruce Johnson, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Friday, May 13. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
The Obama administration is directing public schools to let transgender students use whichever bathroom they want, regardless of the sex listed on file.
The butler for Donald Trump is under investigation by the Secret Service for saying President Obama should be hanged for treason.
The commander in charge of a Navy squadron that was detained by Iran back in January has been relieved of his duties and reassigned.
And the startups that do your customer service work for you, like if you don't want to be on hold forever with your cable company.
This would be a nice thing for many consumers when you talk about how much time we spend on hold every year. It's an estimated 900 million hours collectively that Americans will waste on hold this year. But there are a number of different sites that are out there now that will offer to do a lot of bill negotiations for you. You know, really just make sure that you're not spending a ton of that time on the phone.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on startups putting time back in your day for a fee. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, how about this change as your kids prepare to finish the school year? A new directive from the Obama administration says public schools must permit transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their chosen gender identity, even if their education records indicate a different sex. The guidance does not impose any new legal requirements, but officials say it's meant to clarify expectations of school districts that receive funding from the federal government. Former teacher Bob Ferris, a spokesman for the National Association of Secondary School Principals, supports this guidance.
Transgender students are already at a high risk for suicide and other destructive behaviors. And while some state houses are seeing this as a political issue, we see the faces of kids who are hurt by those policies every day. These are our kids.
The Obama administration is even going so far as to release a separate 25-page document about best practices, including how schools can make transgender students feel more comfortable in the classroom. It's politics now. In a highly anticipated meeting that lasted about 45 minutes, congressional Republicans and presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump started ironing out their differences. The fractured party yesterday began working on two basic items: unifying behind its outsider candidate and winning in November. Although House Speaker Paul Ryan again stopped short of endorsing Mr. Trump, he said they found common agreement on core principles of the GOP, including opposition to abortion and the desire to defeat likely Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton.
From here, we're going to go deeper into the policy areas to see where that common ground is and how we can make sure that we are operating off these same core principles.
Mr. Trump, meanwhile, later appeared on the Fox News channel.
I thought it was a great meeting. We had we discussed a lot of things, a lot of very important things, and I thought it was really a very, very good meeting. I think Paul felt the same way, and everybody else did also.
CNN, meanwhile, is reporting that Mr. Trump told House leadership he would come out with a list of judicial nominations he would make if he had the opportunity to fill a vacancy on the Supreme Court. He also encouraged those present to submit a list of their names as well. Analysis of that meeting now from Daniel Neuhauser, staff correspondent at National Journal. Dan, what do we have here?
Well, you know, it seems like the ultimate goal here would be an endorsement. I think it almost appears as if Ryan and other Republican leaders have already decided that at the end of the day, they're going to endorse Trump. Now, the question is what happens in between? Trump, of course, won this nomination without their help. So does he really need Ryan? Does he need Republican leaders in order to win the election? I mean, that's debatable. From Ryan's perspective, what does he need to see from Trump in order to finally get to that point where he can say, okay, I endorse you? He mentioned a couple of things. He said they talked about broad principles, like the Constitution, executive powers. He said they talk about abortion, trying to get some, sense of Trump's views on the matter, since he's kind of been all over the place, going all the way back to some comments he made saying he was pro-choice in the 90s to now saying that he may or may not support partial birth abortions. So I think everyone, again, is trying to get a handle on this man who has, said one thing and then changed his views on to others. So for Ryan and for Trump, I think they're both trying to size each other up.
We're speaking with Daniel Neuhauser, staff correspondent at National Journal. And we're talking about the meeting between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan as they perhaps try to find common ground. Is the door open for another meeting?
Yes, I think they will continue to meet. Ryan said this was only the first meeting, and that's why they discussed such broad ideas. Of course, Ryan is putting together his policy agenda that is supposed to be coming out in June, and I think he's very eager to present it to Trump and to see if Trump could sort of fill in some of the blanks of his own policy with ideas that Ryan and the Republican conference come up with. And there may or may not also be a meeting where Trump addresses the entire Republican conference. None of this has been set, but these are ideas being kicked around.
Got it. So does Ryan see Trump as a threat? Was that indicated or no?
There was no indication that he sees him as a threat, but I think the subtext of his declining to endorse Trump was that he's wary of him and he's not really sure what to do with this Trump phenomenon. I mean, he wasn't Ryan's first choice. Ryan has, on five separate occasions, repudiated Trump for various comments. For instance, the Trump saying that he wants to ban all Muslims from entering the United States. So, I think he is, in some ways, trying to find some common ground with his candidate so that they can head into the election, head into the fall, with a unified Republican Party. And a lot of this also has to do with protecting members down ballot, because if Trump ends up running a candidacy that alienates a large segment of the American public to the point where they go out and vote against Republicans en masse, that could be a really bad thing for Congress. They could lose the Senate. They could potentially lose the House, although that's going to be a much higher hurdle. So I don't think Ryan is personally challenged by Trump, but I do think he sees some institutional problems.
Got it. He was sort of giving credit, wasn't he, saying it's a remarkable achievement what he's been able to accomplish?
Yeah, and he's absolutely true. I mean, we haven't even finished the primary process, and Trump has already received more primary votes than any Republican candidate in history. So there's no denying that this Trump candidacy has been a complete phenomenon and something very new. And he did this all with, barely any institutional fundraising and almost no congressional endorsements. I mean, it's unprecedented. And so Ryan was essentially just giving credit where credit is due. I mean, the fact of the matter is Trump won this thing fair and square and in a completely new way. And Ryan acknowledged that. But now I think Ryan's trying to find a way to fit himself into that equation.
Thanks, Dan. Daniel Neuhauser, staff correspondent at National Journal. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's a top 10 pro-business state, where 2,000 unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years? And is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to michiganbusiness.org to learn more.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Friday. The U.S. Navy has reassigned the head of a squadron who oversaw the 10 American sailors who were held by Iran for half a day after straying into Iranian territorial waters back in January. He's been temporarily reassigned to another unit. He was responsible for the training and operational readiness of the 400-sailor squadron. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Navy said Commander Eric Rash of the Coastal Riverine Squadron 3 was relieved due to a loss of confidence in his ability to command. Riverine boats provide maritime security in harbor areas, as well as conducting escort support for U.S. Navy vessels. On January 12th, two Navy Riverine craft and the 10 sailors aboard were detained by Iran after the craft strayed into the territorial waters off of Farsi Island in the Persian Gulf. You'll recall things were exasperated by the release of a video taken by Iran that showed the sailors with their hands on their heads while being detained at sea. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Bruce Johnson is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, good morning. A federal judge has ruled that the Obama administration is unconstitutionally spending federal money to defend the president's health care law. The ruling from U.S. District Judge Rosemary Collyer is a win for House Republicans who brought the politically charged legal challenge. At stake is $175 billion the government is paying to reimburse health insurers over a decade to reduce co-payments for lower-income people. Here's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
It's unfortunate that Republicans have resorted to a taxpayer-funded lawsuit to refight a political fight that they keep losing. They've been losing this fight for 6 years.
Judge Collyer issued an order stopping further reimbursements, but delayed its implementation while the case is appealed. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he is very encouraged by what he heard from Donald Trump in their much-anticipated meeting in Washington.
I think he's doing a good job. He's got not an easy job, and I don't mind going through a little bit of a slow process. It's a very big subject. I mean, we have a lot of things.
However, Ryan says he is still short of giving Trump an endorsement for president. Meanwhile, Trump's former butler has drawn the attention of the Secret Service for threats online he has made against President Obama. Anthony Senecal, who served the presumptive Republican nominee at his Mar-a-Lago club in Florida, has a Facebook page filled with incendiary comments. The San Jose Sharks are in the NHL's Western Conference Finals for the first time in 5 years, following a 5-0 home shutout of Nashville in Game 7 last night. Martin Jones with his first career playoff shutout. San Jose now plays Game 1 of the finals at St. Louis on Sunday. And Gordon, for some ill-fated TV shows, ABC stands for All Been Canceled. The network has pulled the plug on 7 of its series, including Castle and the country music drama Nashville. While it was never a big ratings hit, Nashville had its own built-in fan club with residents of Music City, where that show was filmed. The mayor of Nashville says the news of the cancellation is incredibly disappointing. He mustn't be too busy at City Hall.
Yeah, my wife is a big fan of Nashville.
Oh, really?
Kelly loved it, yeah. She will be disappointed as well. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Make Michigan your number one choice for business. More and more companies are offering to take on the burden of bill negotiations, fee waivers, and other customer service problems for a price, of course. These startup companies figure everyone's got a price on their personal time. If you want to avoid being on hold 30 minutes with your cable provider, there's a company that will tackle that for you. More from CNBC.com consumer reporter Kelly Grant. Kelly, set this up.
This would be a nice thing for many consumers when you talk about how much time we spend on hold every year. It's an estimated 900 million hours collectively that Americans will waste on hold this year. But there are a number of different sites that are out there now that will offer to do a lot of bill negotiations for you. They'll handle some typical customer service woes and, you know, really just make sure that you're not spending a ton of that time on the phone for a price, of course.
Right. I was going to say for a fee. All right. So explain some of the ones that you looked at.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these, though, it is a very small fee. GetHuman.com was one site that has recently launched this sort of service. They're known, of course, for doing those sort of company phone tree shortcuts. But now you can pay $5 up to $25 per case, and they'll take care of a lot of different sort of basic problems for you. You know, you got charged an airline fee that you don't agree with, things like that. There are also some services like bill cutters and bill fixers where they'll actually do negotiation for you. So if you want to get a better rate on your cable bill or your cell phone bill, they'll do all the haggling for you and they'll charge you. Usually it's a cut of whatever the savings are for a set period of time.
Wow. We've become that busy, or our time has become that valuable, huh? We're willing to pay for it.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, your time is pretty valuable, especially when you factor in how long you know that you might wait on the phone for some of these customer service reps. And then there's the usual headaches of, you know, maybe, you know, you get a customer service rep who, you know, they're not as willing to work with you, or by that point you are so frustrated with the whole situation that you yell at them and don't get anywhere. Sometimes it's nice to have that neutral third party, and also somebody who, in the case of the bill negotiation, I mean, they know pretty well, you know, what the company can offer and what they'll do for you, that they're going to be playing hardball on your behalf.
Mm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. She's got an interesting story entitled, "These Startups Let You Skip Customer Service Woes." All right, so explain what else you found here, because you mentioned, boy, that's what, 8 to 17 hours on hold per person, but you kind of got to pick and choose which ones you hire out.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the sort of thing where you have to ask yourself, how easily could you resolve this by yourself? I mean, you know, in some cases, maybe just getting through the phone tree using those shortcuts is well enough that you can do this yourself. In a lot of cases, the negotiation might be pretty easy. I mean, we were seeing some creditcards.com numbers that, you know, it's like the bulk of people, just by asking, were able to get a credit card fee waived or, you know, get their interest rate dropped.
There is something to that, right? Avoiding that aggravation. Maybe not banging your head against the wall. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter the code Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you're with us on this Friday, May 13. Gordon Deal with Bruce Johnson, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Obama administration says public schools have to allow transgender students to use any bathroom they want. The Wall Street Journal says the Clinton Global Initiative arranged a financial commitment that benefited a for-profit company part-owned by people with ties to the Clintons. Apple investing $1 billion in China's version of Uber. Meghan Trainor fell at the end of a performance last night on Jimmy Fallon. She was fine. The Daily Show has released a Trump nickname generator. I'm somewhat proud, I guess, to be labeled as Poopy Gordon. And the New York superhero seeking recruits to fight crime. That story in about 20 minutes. More. Prince's death last month from a possible opioid overdose highlights the challenge for health officials using the overdose reversal medication Naloxone. Getting people saved from overdoses into addiction treatment. That's the issue. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp. John, what have you uncovered?
This is a drug that's become increasingly common in the U.S., and what it does is it's really an antidote for overdoses on drugs like Percocets or heroin, these so-called opioids. And a common issue that we're hearing is that although this drug really is a lifesaver in that immediate instance, it's all too common for people to go back to drugs, continue using, and have, you know, more overdoses and potentially die later on.
Goodness. Okay, so when you say that they might need another rescue, that's not because there's a problem with the antidote itself. That's because they fall back into, say, a life of using again?
That's a great question, and you're exactly right. Think of the antidote almost like a defibrillator in the form of a nasal spray or an injection. It's not supposed to be treatment in a bottle. It is a rescue drug that is supposed to solve the immediate crisis at hand, which is that you have someone whose breathing has stopped or slowed so dramatically that they could die because of the drugs they were taking. The frustration for first responders and emergency room officials and families of drug users and the users themselves is that it can be very difficult to try and convert these saves into treatment. And what happens is that after people are rescued with this drug, it can actually plunge them into withdrawal symptoms. So in essence, they snap out of their overdose and can be ornery and difficult to deal with, and where their, you know, number one priority is getting back out of the hospital and finding drugs to get high again. And so a big goal right now is to continue using this drug because it's saving lives in the immediate instance, but to find better ways to capitalize on that. Because when you save a life, there's an opportunity there. And I think the frustration amid a growing drug crisis is how do we capitalize on that opportunity so that people aren't just in a cycle of repeat overdoses that could potentially kill them, but how can we actually find a way to find out who these people are and try and get them treated.
We're speaking with John Kemp, Wall Street Journal reporter based in Boston. He's got a story entitled Prince's Death Spotlights Overdose Antidote Dilemma. All right, so you talk about converting saves into treatment. Anybody have an idea on this?
Yes, there are some communities that are trying to find a better way to do this or trying to find a new way to do this. And I'll give you an example up here in Massachusetts where I live. There's a city called Lowell of about 110,000 people that is unfortunately a real epicenter for this drug crisis. They have a significant problem with heroin and other similar drugs. And the police superintendent there told me he was specifically frustrated when there was a case of a man who overdosed on opioids three times in just 18 hours. And the first two times, first responders were able to find him, get to him fast enough, and use naloxone to save his life. The third time, they didn't get there fast enough, and he died. Wow. And that was very frustrating for the police superintendent. And so he is working with the fire department, the health department, and a drug clinic in town. And what they do is have a new program now where once they know who you are through a 911 call, if you overdose, they're going to send out a team to try and find you either on the street, in a homeless encampment, at your apartment, 24 hours later, maybe 2 or 3 days later, when you might be in a better frame of mind, and say, you know, we know you overdosed the other day. Can we talk to you about treatment? They're just trying to find a way to get through to people and track them down so that they can help urge them any way they can to get into treatment.
Well, it doesn't necessarily, like, it fits the job description of some of these folks, though.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the police, you know, can be scary for people who are using illegal drugs, right? And that's one of the things that they're stressing is that they're not going in there with law enforcement in mind. They're going in there to help people. And it does represent a shift we've seen in society and in law enforcement in recent years, which is to really view the drug users through a more sympathetic lens and look at them as people who are, you know, dealing with a significant medical problem.
All right. Thanks, John. Wall Street Journal reporter John Kemp, who's based in Boston. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us and good Friday to you. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online over the past few days. We're joined now by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler, who's with us live. Nina, where do we begin?
Hi, Gordon. Well, we begin with President Obama. He will, of course, become the first sitting American leader to visit the site of the U.S. atomic bomb attack in Hiroshima. And so people have been coming to Google to find out more information. They want to know, when is Obama going to Hiroshima? The visit is, of course, scheduled for May 27th. People want to know, you know, more about the history of what happened there. And so we've seen a lot of search interest around that.
It's not often that you and I get to discuss beer at this hour of the morning, too.
We hardly ever get to discuss beer, and it's not a National Beer Day or anything like that making news this time. It's actually the fact that Budweiser has a new name. You can now call Budweiser America. The beer company, they'll debut a new name and label on May 23rd, and so fans of the brand, they were coming to Google for a sneak peek of what the change will look like. They released photos. You know, Donald Trump came out, and he said that he thinks the rebranding could have something to do, you know, with kind of the support that he's had and that he's garnered throughout this presidential cycle. So lots of questions around Budweiser, people wanting to know why are they changing their name, who owns Budweiser. You know, and the irony is that Budweiser is not actually an American company. They're Belgian.
Yep. Do you know that old riddle about beer, by the way? Does beer make you smarter? Well, it made Budweiser.
See? Like that one.
You can
a
be
little humor for your Friday
that's
morning.
That's right. Nerd humor. You can certainly try to wow people at the water cooler this morning. You can borrow that if you want.
I think I'll use that one.
Why is Bob Marley in the news?
Well, Bob Marley is in the news because it was the 35th anniversary of his death, and so people were just kind of reflecting on his legacy, looking for some of his music, and especially as the summer, you know, kind of starts to arrive, people looking for some of his hits, jamming and other ones, and people wanting to know, you know, how did Bob Marley die? When did he die? And of course, you know, he died at just the age of 36 from skin cancer.
Right. Who cares why Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling are in the news? It allows me to search Google images for Eva Mendes.
Exactly. For no other reason than them being maybe the most attractive-looking couple in Hollywood. They have a baby girl. They welcomed their second daughter. And this was a surprise to a lot of people. They kept their first pregnancy really under the radar, and they did the same for their second pregnancy. You know, so they really didn't want it out there, you know, kind of in the media. And their daughter was born, you know, different reports, some saying late April, others saying early May. You know, but regardless, really, really happy for the two of them. Esmeralda Amada was their first daughter's name, and Amada Lee is their new daughter's name.
All right, got to set this next one up with a clip, too. Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani on this romantic duet, Go Ahead and Break My Heart on The Voice.
Why don't you go ahead and break my heart? Why are you waiting?
Millions of viewers already, Nina.
Millions of viewers already. Real-life couple, Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani, you know, everyone loves them. They took to the Voice stage. They performed their new duet, as you heard, Go Ahead and Break My Heart. And it has over 3 million views and counting since being uploaded on Monday. And it's just, you know, it's nice to see them on stage interacting with each other and kind of getting a glimpse into their personal life and in some kind of way.
Very good. Hey, did you get your nickname, by the way, from the Trump nickname generator? I just saw this morning.
I have not gotten my nickname, but I might have to go in and see what it gives me. Have you gotten yours?
I did. It's Poopy Gordon, just for your reference. And I did yours, too. You are Oily Nina.
Oily Nina.
There
okay,
you
well, you can just call me Oils from now on.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, as always, Nina. Appreciate it. Nina Tyler, Google Trends expert, with us live this morning. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.
Hey, glad you're with us. Apparently, the no-tipping test at Joe's Crab Shack isn't working out. CNN Money reminds us that the casual seafood chain announced back in November that it had been trying out a no-tipping model in 18 of its restaurants. But less than a year later, the company is moving back to the standard gratuity model in 14 of the test locations. Joe's Crab Shack has more than 100 locations nationwide and was the first major restaurant chain to test out a no-tipping policy. Prices at the pilot restaurants increased to cover the new labor costs. But the restaurant's research showed that around 60% of customers disliked the policy because it took away an incentive for good service and that they don't necessarily trust that management is passing along the money to workers. The pilot restaurants lost an average of 8 to 10% of customers during the test run, at least according to the CEO. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Bruce Johnson is back with more of America's First News.
Well, the Obama administration is sending a directive today to the nation's public schools, telling them that they must allow students to use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their chosen gender identity. Many people on the street agree, including this woman.
They're people, you know, and they should be able to go where they need to go and feel comfortable and safe.
Donald Trump and House Speaker Paul Ryan say they are totally committed to working together. The two held a fence-mending personal meeting in Washington yesterday, after which Ryan praised Trump as very warm and genuine and suggested that after initial hesitance, he may well end up endorsing the GOP candidate for president. GOP National Committee Chair Reince Priebus was on hand for the meeting.
Today's meeting was very positive. It was definitely a great step toward unifying the party.
Well, it's not clear if they're serious, but bidders for the pistol used by George Zimmerman to kill Trayvon Martin are pushing the online auction into the stratosphere. The website for United Gun Group is hosting the auction. By this morning, the total bidding had surpassed $25 million, and the leading bidder so far is using the screen name Racist McShootface. That's what it says right here. The Oklahoma City Thunder are headed to the NBA Western Conference Finals for the fourth time in 6 years. Kevin Durant poured in 37 points last night as the Thunder won at home over San Antonio 113-99 in Game 6. OKC now plays defending champion Golden State, and Durant is ready.
This wasn't our championship. You know, we were confident coming in here. But, you know, it's happy that we're moving forward and we get another opportunity to play again, and we're excited about it.
Game one is Monday in Oakland. And, Gordon, today is the last day for Michael Strahan as co-host of TV's Live with Kelly and Michael. The former football star joined Kelly Ripa on the show 4 years ago after replacing Regis Philbin. Strahan is moving on to ABC's Good Morning America full-time. Of course, Ripa was reportedly angry to learn of Strahan's planned departure only minutes before it was made public.
I must say, I have not seen the show since that whole dust-up, other than her remarks that first day she came back. But
yeah, well, one report out of New York says that Kelly has kept her dressing room locked all week in a way to freeze out Strahan.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you, Four Fingers Bruce. By the way, that's your Trump nickname generator nickname.
I'm honored by that.
You good with it?
Don't know what it means, but I'm honored.
It's not accurate either?
Let me count. No, I've got five.
6 minutes in front of the hour. A real-life superhero from Staten Island, New York, is patrolling the streets of New York City looking for costumed crusaders to join his real-life Justice League. UPI says Chris Pollock, a.k.a. Dark Guardian, is a martial arts instructor, said his ideal candidate would be somebody who has some self-defense skills. Though he doesn't, they don't always look to fight. Dark Guardian is advertising a recruiting event on Facebook. It reads, crimes on the rise in New York City. The recruiting event is this Sunday afternoon at Continental Center at 1:30. Dark Guardian says he has recently increased patrols in Prospect Park after a recent sexual assault. Members of the New York Ronins, as they're known, have been putting up posters in the area seeking to find the, quote, scumbag rapist. That'll do it for this hour. For Bruce Johnson, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.